Look at God working the deals. God is trying to make a deal with the people. That's how it looks. You remember last week, God said to Moses, who was newly in the desert with the freed Hebrew people, "Moses, tell the people this. Remember what I did for you back in Egypt. Now bind yourself to me with devotion, and you will be my special, my most special people for all time. I did for you, now you serve me." It looks like God is trying to get something for all of God's trouble. But we're not Moses. We're not the freed Hebrew people. What have we gotten from God? What has God done for us lately that God could still be making such demands of us? To use the season of Advent as an example, hope, peace, joy, and love. Last week you had a bulletin insert that had the seasons of the church year, ordinary time, which we're in now, Advent, Lent, Eastertide, Christmastide, Pentecost, along with their colors, the traditional colors, so we're in green right now for ordinary time, and the dates. And I invited you to put those dates, put those colors even, in your own personal calendars as a reminder that our finite lives in these bodies resides and rests always within the infinity that is God. Today I want to continue to think about how we place our everyday life within the context of our faith, this time by bringing Advent into ordinary time. The time of faith is cyclical, as represented by that perpetual calendar of the church, but the time of faith is also all time at one time. We are no less in the season of Advent now than we will be in December. But as a refresher, because it's been a while, Advent occurs in the first 4 weeks before Christmas, which I wish I didn't have to say, because it makes it sound like Christmas is Advent is the Christmas preseason. Like Advent are the 4 weeks we need to get ready for Christmas. But it isn't. Advent is the first 4 weeks of the entire Christian year. The first 4 weeks of the Christian year, followed by the 12 days of Christmas. Advent stands on its own. Advent doesn't just point to Jesus' birth, but his life, his execution, and the mystery. We spend those 4 weeks not preparing for only one night, but to receive the whole story of God in Jesus Christ. And we do it with those weekly themes of hope, peace, joy, and love. In a life of faith, we prepare for the holiness with whom, in whom, by whom, and for whom we get hope, peace, joy, and love. Which is not original to Jesus. That didn't begin with Jesus. That didn't just begin in God 2,000 years ago. Let's go back to today's scripture. The verses that Barbara read today are from Exodus. They are the opening verses of what we call the Decalogue, or the Ten Commandments. First, we have this preface. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." And then today we have the first four of the ten. "Do not worship other gods. Do not make any false gods. Do not make any vows in my name if you're not going to honor that vow. Do keep one day of rest out of every seven." We don't do ourselves any favors by calling these commandments, because then it makes God into the commander and in a fairly bossy tone. So as I've said before, the rabbi at my seminary taught us to hear them as teachings, and as Pastor Hannah described too, teachings, invitations. What do they have to instruct us in? Please remember, God says, I was with you in the very worst of times, the times that were most frightening, the times that were most risky. Please remain in relationship with me. Please don't be tempted to ditch me for something that's shiny but hollow inside. Please don't lie. And please, please be a people who rest, because I need it and you need it and the earth needs it. That doesn't sound like God making demands. That doesn't sound like God asking the Hebrew people to pony up now that they're free. That doesn't sound like God negotiating a fee for a service. Because as we know from the whole collection of our biblical stories and our own lives, the real negotiations are between us. The real negotiations are between us. Even though this portion makes it sound like God set the Hebrew people free, God did not. God did not set the people free on their own. God had to come up with a way to reach out to Moses. So we have this burning bush. And with the burning bush, God has to negotiate with Moses to become a leader of Moses' own people. Why? Moses didn't grow up with his people. He grew up in the palace. And then he fled his people after killing someone and married a woman from a different religion and a different community. So it took a little work to talk him into doing that. Then Moses has to go back to the Hebrew people and negotiate with them to accept this plan, to buy into this plan from fiery Flora and enacted by an outsider leader like him. That took some negotiation. Then the Hebrew people and Moses successfully, albeit gruesomely, negotiate with Pharaoh for their own liberation. Now Pharaoh, because he is stiff-necked and hard of heart, we hear, didn't get that they meant they were really going for all time. And so then Pharaoh sends out that army that gets drowned. But regardless of Pharaoh's slowness, once God makes God's presence known, freedom is born through the negotiation between people. Whatever plagues and great demonstrations of power that God offers, none of them actually set the people free. God's plagues and God's great actions of power are his, if you're going to call God a he, I don't know how that just happened, are God's witness. Woo, it's deep in there. That's God's witness. That's God's testimony to whom God favors the oppressed. That's God's testimony to whom God favors the oppressed. But all of the work is between the Hebrew people and their captor before they can get free. Those negotiations continue to this day. Do we want to be free? If not, we can abandon faith and community. We can worship our own egos. We can lie our pants off. And we can never take a day off or work to make sure that other people get days off. But if we want to live in hope, peace, joy, and love, we might want to attend to the divine. We might want to respect the holiness of this world, including this delicate interlacing between all people and all creatures. The invitation of Advent isn't just to prepare for a story. It's to prepare for our whole lives. It's not a season just of special songs and prayers, but the grounding for these ordinary times of negotiation within ourselves, between ourselves and our shadow selves, and between each other. Last week I said that we tend to humanize God, which is easy to do because of Jesus. But we need to be reminded regularly that God has to be. God must be and is so much more than we are or we could ever be. But we remain human. And so our life with God is on human terms. As sacred as these teachings are, as sacred as these 10 invitations are, they're also very practical, and they work. And they might be the only thing that we have left to turn back from the anti-hope, anti-peace, anti-joy, and anti-love that we're experiencing on so many fronts right now, that are working on so many fronts right now to restrict and to remove our freedom. What God asks of us, it turns out, is what God has to give us. And it's always been ours to get, always been ours to receive, from the time before time and this time, which is all times. And in this time of so many stiff necks and hardened hearts, when so many armies of immigration agents and bots and bad policy, when armies of vitriol, Twitter wars, and corrupt laws are coming after us, let us remember that God has always been with us in the worst of times, in the most frightening times, in the most risky times. Please stay in relationship with God. Please let us not be tempted to ditch God for something that's shiny but hollow inside. Please let us be an honest people. And please let us take a day of rest, because God needs it, we need it, and the earth needs it. Amen.